Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if you notice around this time of year, around Easter, often the news magazines, the TV shows, the internet blogs, they bring out all these alternative theories to try to explain or try to explain away the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they fall flat. They come up with ideas like, well, these disciples, I mean, think about this in light of the readings that you heard this morning. All these disciples, well, they were fooled by their own overactive imaginations. They just all made it up. Or these apostles, these disciples of Jesus, they kind of conspired to pull a fast one on these gullible people at the time that Jesus rose. Or a little bit later version, the Muslim version, is that Jesus is a prophet of Allah, but he wasn't the Son of God, and he didn't die on the cross in the first place. It was really a case of mistaken identity. Somebody else was crucified there in his place, and Allah just raised him up without dying. Yet what we heard in our readings today, in the gospel reading, in the reading from Acts, in the reading from Revelation, you get the apostolic witness of the people who were there. It starts out the day of the resurrection. Jesus, the disciples were huddled in this room, scaredy cats, afraid of the people, afraid of the Jews who just crucified Jesus. Are we next? The same day of the resurrection, Jesus appears to them. And then, a week later, Thomas wasn't with him. So he comes back, and Thomas is there. And Thomas has said, I'm not going to believe. Maybe this sounds like people in your lives, or people on the internet, or wherever. I'm not going to believe unless I see him, and I put my fingers into the nail holes in his hands, and I put my hand into his side. I'm not going to believe until I see him. Well, there he is. And then you get the witness of Peter, who ran away when Jesus was being betrayed and tried. He's filled with courage. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And he knows what he's seen with his own eyes. The resurrected Jesus Christ. And he goes into the lion's den. He goes right to the temple where all the priests and the Sadducees, as Marianne read earlier, were people who, they were a religious faction that didn't believe in the resurrection. Okay, their main theological point was, against all the others around them in Judea at the time, was we don't believe in the resurrection. And you can always remember who the Sadducees were. They didn't believe in the resurrection, so they were sad, you see. Okay? I'll never forget that. Okay. They didn't believe in the resurrection. Well, what are they going to do when there's a resurrected Jesus and all the people in Jerusalem knew it? So they said, Peter, James, John, all the rest of you, don't say anything about us. In fact, they threw him in prison, as Acts 5 tells us today. But the angel of the Lord let them out of prison. And where do they go? Daybreak, they go to the temple. Right back into the lion's den to do what? To talk about the resurrected Jesus. You can't stop them. So you have the day of the resurrection. The week after the resurrection, the same Sunday as today, the Sunday, first Sunday after Easter with Thomas. Then you have Peter and all the apostles in the temple for weeks afterwards, after the ascension. And then we get to John. John, who is the last of the living apostles. And he writes this Gospel of John so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, alive forevermore, and that by believing you may have life in his name, he says. The last living apostle. And he comes near the end of his life, and he writes the Gospel of John, and he writes this revelation, this vision that he has. Really, it's seven visions, okay? Between then and now, between the resurrection of Christ and the second coming of Christ. That's the book of Revelation, okay? It's seven visions of increasing intensity to get you to know, to be assured of your salvation, Christians. So he writes to you, he writes to them and you, at the end of his life, what does he write? I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation. You guys live in tribulation? In the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus. That's what we're in, patient endurance. I was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of the Lord and the testimony of Jesus. Because I was talking about Jesus, because I was testifying about Jesus, what I saw, the resurrected Jesus Christ 80 years ago, I'm on the island of Patmos in exile. They haven't killed me yet. I've been to the island of Patmos. It's a real place, guys. Just like the resurrection of Jesus is real. John was there. He says, that's where I was. This is what happened. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is Sunday, the day of the resurrection. That's why we call it the Lord's Day. That's why we celebrate today. That's why we celebrate every Sunday. That's why the whole Jewish community, which changed, imagine how this is a proof of the resurrection. That we worship on Sundays, not on Saturdays. All of Judaism is based on the Sabbath, which is what day? The seventh day, Saturday. On the eighth day, or the first day of the week, that's when Christ rose. That's why, for 2,000 plus years, you and I and people have gathered to celebrate on the Lord's Day. Okay? It's called the Lord's Day because that's the day he rose. Okay? Evidence number 14 for the resurrection. All right, where was I? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and tell it to the seven, and send it to the seven churches of Buffalo and Clarence and Cheektowaga and Akron and Lancaster and Lockport. Okay? Let them know this. Here's what it is. Here's what I saw. I turn to see the voice that was speaking to me. Oh, don't you love this? And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. Oh, look what. We've got seven. Okay. And in the midst of the lampstands was one like the Son of Man. Oh, like a cross right in the middle. Guess who this is? You haven't seen him in 80 years. It's Jesus. Clothed with a long robe and a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of Niagara. On his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword like the word of God, law and gospel. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. This is what John is talking to you about. It's about the resurrected Jesus Christ and what he's going to look like to you when you see him in person when he comes back. And when you get to heaven, I don't know what he's going to look like. Maybe it's going to be like that. Why not? But he's living. That's why he came and talked to John. That's why he said, write this so that people may know what's going on. So that people who are living during this time of tribulation, until I get back, know how to live and can live in assurance and hope that there's more than this life of this mess of a life that we live in now. There's way more. This is the promise of the resurrection for you and me, brothers and sisters in Christ. So why don't people believe this? I don't know. But I think it has to do with repentance. Because if I believe that there's a Christ who was raised from the dead, if I believe that God became incarnate as a human being of flesh and blood, He went that far for me, and He went that far for me to the cross, and He raised Christ from the dead for me, then maybe I gotta listen to Him. And maybe I need a Savior. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you live in this world and you don't believe you need a Savior, what's going on? We need a Savior. We see people killing each other. How many hundreds were killed in Sri Lanka last week on Easter Sunday? Why? Because they testified about who Jesus was, among other things. And because there's hate in human hearts. And some of the hate came out yesterday in California when some idiot, I'm going to call him an idiot, shoots some people in a synagogue. Because of hate. There's hate in human hearts. They're called to repentance by a living God and a holy God. A living God by nature we don't want to believe in. And a holy God who calls us to holiness that we don't want to bother with. That's why we don't want to listen to Him. But He doesn't care. I mean, well, He does care, but I mean, He's not going to stop by that. He's not going to be prevented by that. What's true is true, whether you like it or not. Some people acknowledge that Jesus lived some 2,000 years ago, but they want to find some way to set Him aside. And they say, well, okay, I'll just put Him in this box over here as a great philosopher or something. Tell me about Him later. I don't really want to know. Jesus can't be contained that way. Just like He can't be contained by the grave. If you think you can contain Him in a little box in your life, and keep Him there, He's going to come to you and force His way in and tell you who He is. Today is an example, a tiny one. Okay? You know who He is. Listen to who He is. Pay attention. Because He came for you. He came to redeem you from your hate, from your disbelief. Look how He comes to Thomas in person. That's how He comes to you and says, I'm real, I live, and because I live, you will too. Come on, let's go. That's the resurrection. Live in the resurrection. Live in, and He gives you holiness. He says, I'm holy, so are you going to be. I'm going to make you holy. I'm going to declare you holy. Starting today, you're holy, based on your baptism. Okay? And you're forgiven. When you sin, you're forgiven. So you can live it holy lives, pure lives. And when you fail, I forgive that too. But someday, you're going to be fixed completely so that you can't sin. It's going to be after you die. So, John recognizes this. And when Jesus comes, John says, I fell at His feet as though dead. For there's a lot of irony in that statement. I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one." The living one. "I died, and behold, I am alive forever. And I hold in my hands the keys to death and Hades." Hell. Death and hell, I've been there. And you are not going there because of my resurrection, Jesus says. Have you ever been to a funeral where the funeral director takes the casket and closes the casket, and he's got this kind of special key that he turns that lock the casket? I don't know why you need to lock a casket. I could think of a reason, but he locks a casket. Jesus says, "That key is nothing. I've got the keys to death and hell. And for you, brothers and sisters in Christ, that is a key to be open, a key that opens your casket. And it doesn't matter if you're cremated. Same thing goes." Okay? You are going to be raised. He's got the keys to your casket. You're going to live. You're going to live forever because of Him. We were singing earlier about, you guys were singing earlier. I was mumbling along. You were singing about the victory that we have in Christ. And you were singing about what is the line? How does it go? The orphan, The orphan becomes a brother and a son and a brother, right? I'm sorry, I should have practiced this beforehand. The orphan becomes a son and a brother. That's what resurrection living is. God changes, Jesus changes your lives, brothers and sisters in Christ. The testimony of the apostles is you guys changed lives. And you don't always feel it, I know that. But you are different. You're different than you would have been. And you're not perfect. You don't live perfectly holy lives. I get that. Okay? But you are a witness, just like Paul and Peter and John and Thomas, of who Jesus is and what He does. And you're a witness right now just by being here. For 2,000 years, people have come on the Lord's Day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is a witness. And that is a proof of the resurrection. Proof number 9, if you're keeping a list. Proof number 10 is Holy Communion. We're doing this in remembrance of Jesus' death and resurrection. His bodily flesh and blood given for you as an assurance, just like the book of Revelation is, to get you from His first resurrection, from His resurrection. Well, He's only going to be raised once. From His resurrection to His second coming. That is an assurance too, which has been going on for 2,000 years. Why? Ask these internet guys why this is still going on for 2,000 years. Because we're not Thomas. We weren't there anymore. The Christian church, which has suffered persecution from the very beginning, as you heard, is here today. That is a witness, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it faces persecution today. You and I face persecution today. That's why the internet tells you that Christ didn't rise from the dead. They don't want you to believe. Satan doesn't want you to believe that. He's been trying for 2,000 years to tell people that's not true. Well, he's failed. Christ holds the keys. Jesus Christ raised from the dead for you and for me. Forever. You have that forever. in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.